Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, and today I am very excited to be joined by Just Incredible, former ECW champion, WWE wrestler. Justin's been all over the place. He also goes by PJ Polacco, so if you hear me call him PJ, you know why. I will bring him in shortly. Obviously, we will be taking your phone calls today coming out of WWE SummerSlam. And the number to join us is 773-897-6321. If you are listening live at Blog Talk, the chat room, believe it or not, is open. Yes, 2 days in a row, I remember to open up the chat room. If you are listening live and you're in the queue, if you called into the number and you're like, hey, I want to ask a question, but it's not giving me the option, I believe it's as simple as hitting the one on your phone, and then you can join us and talk SummerSlam, NXT, whatever you want to talk about with Just Incredible, a.k.a. PJ Polacco. I believe I see him in the queue right now, so let's see if this is him. PJ, is that you?
Yes, it is, Jason. How are you, man?
Hey, great. Good to talk to you. I've been excited about this show. Obviously, it's always good to have you on, always good to get a wrestler perspective on a major show. And I want to dive right in. I know you watched SummerSlam last night, and I felt both of the two big matches on the show had very unique finishes, is a nice way of putting it. Let's start with Taker and Lesnar. What did you think of the finish they went with?
Well, I mean, at first, first gut reaction, because I was trying to do two things. I was watching Fear the Walking Dead and SummerSlam. So when I first looked at it, I honestly thought, could it be possible that it was a shoot, like the timekeeper really screwed it up? And then with the restart and stuff, it was obvious to me when I realized it wasn't a screw-up, that it was just a way for Brock to lose without really doing any damage to him. And it was just, the match was really good. I really enjoyed it, very physical. I just thought that the finish was, I mean, although it was, creative, I don't remember anything like that in a long time, but it was just, it just left me a little sour. And it kind of left me looking at Undertaker as kind of like, he was almost the heel with the nut shot and then the, getting him in the hold. So just the way they positioned it, gave Taker a win, but it, wasn't a clean win. They obviously protected Brock going forward. So it was just an interesting way to go forward.
I do think
they're going to have a third match,
Right, yeah, and it remains to be seen. I assume WrestleMania, I would personally like to see it at Survivor Series just because I'm ready for them both to move on. But like you, very impressed with the match quality, especially coming out of their last match at WrestleMania, which, it was like, yeah, Taker was concussed. I just didn't know how good that match was going to be. Taker looked pretty rough that year. He certainly looks in much better shape now. The finish, I'm with you in that it protected Brock, but I thought it was kind of clunky. I don't know if it was they missed the camera shot, if they thought it would add drama to have that bell ring out of nowhere. But, PJ, I'm curious to get your take on this. I thought it was distracting. I'm watching these two do their thing, and all of a sudden the bell rings, and it's like, what? And it just kind of took me out of the moment where maybe if they'd actually shown Taker tap, there would have been that excitement, and then you get the drama. Do you think that was by design that they didn't show that? They wanted to wait for the replay?
Yeah, I think it was by design, totally. And it totally took, I think everybody, the crowd was, it did come up a little bit, but it flattened it out. It didn't, it didn't end on that high note that I believe they wanted it to. It really took everybody. I think a lot of people were confused, especially in the live audience. I know they're playing to a bigger stage, as are the people on the network and on pay-per-view, but I think it really took the wind out of it, a little bit. And then, of course, when they explained it afterwards, it made a lot of sense. But I think it was totally by design. I don't know what they necessarily were shooting for, but I think they really lost the crowd that final sequence when Taker went for the low blow.
And that's just it. I think this finish, if you're just looking at it for they're obviously setting up a third match as far as a modern match between the two, I get it. I really do. It was a way to protect Lesnar, yet even things up at one apiece, and now you set up the rubber match, whenever that will be. But I really thought there was a better way to get there without just, as you said, deflating the crowd. I mean, that the fans were hot for that match. I mean, it was better than I think anyone could have really expected it to be. And then just to have that just deflating moment at the end of a show, that was really disappointing. But I think I would have accepted it a lot more. I'd be a little easier with it had it not been for the screwy finish of the John Cena and Seth Rollins match on top of it with Jon Stewart interfering. This was a two-match show in a lot of ways. And
well, most of their big shows now are two-match shows, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
But how many times do we get a two-match show that ends with, you know, two screwy finishes?
Yeah. It's very rare, and I just think, you know, WWE is. It almost seemed like it was. In a lot of ways, SummerSlam traditionally, you know, kind of, you know, feuds started or ended from WrestleMania on. You know, it's the biggest show since WrestleMania. So I just expected some finality in a lot of this stuff. And I just don't think they know where they're going to obviously be doing this kind of stuff. Obviously, they're trying to put heat on Seth Rollins. I don't know. I don't know. I question a lot of their storytelling. But, overall, I enjoyed the show. But that's the thing, is these matches were so well. The top two matches we're talking about, Cena Rollins and Taker Lesnar, were done so well in the ring. You know, physicality wise, especially, these guys are beating the heck out of each other. To end the way they both did really leaves a lot to be desired. You know, in my opinion, at least.
No, I'm with you. You know, I think obviously they're setting up something more for Rollins and Cena. I mean, it could be a way just to move on. I guess I'm not quite sure, but I think we're going to see more from them. And what did you think of Jon Stewart? I mean, I'm watching it going, why not Ric Flair? He's the guy with the 16 time, and I think their answer would be Ric Flair's not going to make the mainstream, you know, outlets and get us all this mainstream attention.
Sure. I mean, it's what they do. They like to add in celebrities, whether for better or for worse, and most times it's for worse. Usually they're campy segments that the fans don't really connect with. I know, you know, from what I understand, Stewart's a fan, and I'm a fan of his work and stuff, but, you know, it's just, to me, it comes across cheesy. It takes the seriousness out of the moment, and fans, you know, especially as of late, the way a lot of the WWE's main events have been really hard-hitting, almost to a different level, where they're trying to portray it as more of a fight than, you know, anything. You know, they're really, you know, especially Lesnar Taker was very physical in nature. You know, I've seen more hard ways on these shows lately than at any time I can remember. You know, so the physicality levels there, you know, and to bring a guy like Jon Stewart, who, again, I have no, you know, nothing but respect for, but it really takes fans out of the moment of, you know, something serious is going on to, hey, this is just regular WWE camp. And, you know, I think it takes away from it, in my opinion.
And before we get to calls, Beach, what'd you think of Fear the Walking Dead? I stayed up late after SummerSlam and after audio and made my way through it.
You know what? My wife didn't like it as much as I did. I thought it was a slow burn, and I think, you know, it's a different gimmick. It's obviously not as good. I give it, maybe a 7 out of 10. It was okay. Not great.
Interesting.
Not bad.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. I like where they're starting with this, and it's a different perspective. I know it's L.A., but did they really have to have, you know, most of the main younger characters just look so pretty?
Oh, they're all so pretty.
Yeah. And now, you know, that was the thing. I mean, I guess that didn't grab me like that. I didn't, you know, watching the original was like, yeah, there's attractive characters on there, but it's just, it didn't strike me as, here are all these people that just auditioned for 20 other shows before they got this one.
Right. Well, if you think about it, they're coming into this is the beginning of the apocalypse where nobody knows what's going on. So I guess they had some time to put on their Sunday bests, if you will.
Fair point. Definitely. Hey, the number to join us today is 773-897-6321. I am Jason Powell. He is former ECW champion of the world, Justin Credible, a.k.a. PJ Polacco. We would love to take your calls on all things SummerSlam weekend or anything PJ related for that matter. And PJ, real quick, before I take the first call, where can people find you on Twitter?
At PJ Polacco, P-O-L-A-C-O, and also real quick, go to www.thejustincredible.com. Pretty much sends you to my Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, one-stop shopping, prowrestlingtees.com. It gives you everything. So the website will direct you to all my social media outlets.
Including Pro Wrestling 101?
Including Pro Wrestling 101 on YouTube, absolutely.
All right, let's turn things over to 859. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on? It's Jeremy J. Moss Moses from Florence, Kentucky.
Hey, .NET member J. Moss, what's on your mind today?
Well, I got to tell you, I was not a fan of the two big matches ending with the screwy endings like you were, or like you guys. I just can't help but think that there's a larger purpose for Cena and Rollins ending the way that it did. Maybe they take this, as much as I am tired of seeing it, maybe they take this all the way to the Survivor Series?
Well, Night of Champions is up next, PJ. What do you think? I mean, can they get that much out of this?
I even if they can't, they will. It's kind of like in my opinion, it's like Randy Orton, Sheamus. When it first, I believe that if I'm, I don't have my notes in front of me, but if I'm not mistaken, it was the first match of the evening. And
I believe for the second straight pay per view.
Yeah, but and it just to me, like, these guys go out there and work their butts off. And I love, I worked with Randy a lot when he first came up in the WWE, and I love working with Randy. I don't know Sheamus very well, but these guys could work, they work hard, but nobody cares. You know, it's almost deflating when you see these guys come out there to work against each other, and it's not by lack of effort or lack of, trying. It's just like, guys, we've seen this before. And then that's the problem I think we get with, we're going to be getting a lot more often with these three-hour broadcasts. And, we've been talking this to nauseam, about this. It's these three-hour Raw broadcasts and then these, specials on the network or pay-per-views, whatever you call them these days. They're running out of opponents. So what else can you do besides continuously match certain people up? With different angles, different storylines, but unfortunately, I don't think they've really had anything with these two guys that stuck. They're really not fighting for anything but pride. I mean, what else is really, little things here or there that, that they're arguing over, but it's nothing really of consequence. So regardless, unless they're putting on a five-star match and given 20 minutes, nobody's really going to care. And it's a shame because they're two stellar athletes and two big names in the company that the WWE banks on. So that's part of the problem,
To follow up on that, before I go back to J-Moss, see if he has more, did you ever, being in the wrestling bubble, like being on the road, do you pick up on that as a wrestler? I mean, do you think Randy Orton and Sheamus are well aware of the fact that they've had way too many matches?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you get to a point where I think I know Randy a little. I mean, pretty well. And I mean, not recently, but I haven't spoken to him in 2-3 years. But I mean, at this point, I just believe he wants to go out there. He's not going to go out there and fight creative, because sometimes that's a losing fight in itself. He's going to go out there. He's going to put on the best performance that he can and do what he's told. And I think a lot of guys take that. It's not that they're not going to go out. They're going to all work hard. Don't get me wrong, because I see a lot of hard work from all these fellas. But they're not going to, because sometimes, you can go out there, unless you have a really stellar idea, you're just going to get stuck doing what they want anyway. So I think a lot of them just conform to, hey, this is what we got to do. Let's make best of it and do the best we can with it.
Hey, J-Mon, do you have more for us today?
Yeah, you brought up Randy and Sheamus not having anything to fight for. Could the next match perhaps involve winner gets the money in the bank?
Sure.
Oh, Lord,
what? That's probably where they'll go with it. If they have anywhere to go with it, which is interesting. The money in the bank almost becomes like a title, because it's important, and obviously it has some significance to it. So sure, absolutely, I guarantee you that somehow they might go with it. So yeah, absolutely. I just think, unfortunately, WWE, they have a great thing with NXT, but I just don't think they're the way the system has it today, with so much television out there, that they're producing on a weekly basis. They just they don't have enough guys coming through the pike, and they're overexposing talent and matchups. Matchups that would down the line possibly have done well would make a lot of money. So I think the product suffers more than anything. And the talent, you know, I don't say the talent suffers so much because from what I understand, the top guys are all getting very well compensated. But I think the product suffers, and I think their creative side suffers a little bit, you know.
Here's why I can't. I mean, I think you're probably right. That it's probably something they'll consider. I hate when a guy wins Money in the Bank and then just willingly puts it on the line. Even if there's something Randy Orton puts on the line, okay, if it's like Randy Orton's career or something.
Right.
You know,
what does Sheamus get?
That's the thing. And I think it cheapens Money in the Bank when that happens. I remember they did it with Ken Anderson. That made sense. They were kind of put in a position where they had to because due to multiple injuries. But if they can avoid it, I hope they do. But, I mean, it would be one way to give them something to fight over. I certainly assume we're heading for the latest rubber match in their latest series of this never-ending feud. J-Moss, what's up? Do you have more?
No, that's all I got. I would say that, you know, if that's what they go for with Sheamus and Orton, you know, I don't know that it interests me, but it at least it spices it up. Have a great day.
Thank you. Always good to hear from a .NET member. Speaking of which, well, first, let me tell you again, if you want to join us, 773-897-6321 is the number. I am Jason Powell. He is Justin P.J. Polacco, Credible, former ECW champion. We are here taking your phone calls on ProWrestling.net Live. And if you are on hold and are like, hey, I want to submit a question, I don't know how, hit 1 if you are listening on the phone line, and then we know that you want to be on the show and talk to PJ. But I really quick, since we heard from a .NET member, I do want to mention the $1 for 1 month special that we are doing right now. This sale ends this week. It's only our second special of the year, and it's not just the $1 for 1 month. That's if you haven't tried us before, it's a great way to sample us out. But we also have great savings right now for a 6 month and annual membership. You can save $27. Actually, I'm sorry. The sale price is $27 for our 6 month membership, a savings of $12. And then the annual membership is $45, a savings of $21 off of the usual annual rate. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, and there should be a story right near the top of the page, no matter when you're listening to this, that says ProWrestling.net membership sale, $1 for 1 month, and you'll get the coupon code that you need that corresponds with the special that you want. And then all you do is take that coupon code and follow the link into the member sign-up page, enter that coupon code, and you can get those savings. And tonight, the members will be hearing my WWE Raw audio review. They were already listening to the audio review that Jake Barnett and I did on WWE SummerSlam last night. They're getting the first listen to one of PJ's old buddies, Justin Credible's old buddy, Joel Gertner, joined Johnny Fairplay.
Oh.
Yeah, and my God, it was so much more tame than I expected it to be. Johnny tried to take it in a trashy direction, and Joel, he was actually at the NXT show and SummerSlam, and he's going tonight. He said the Barclays Center is very close to his house, and he was providing all sorts of great analysis and giving the in-person perspective on things. And so members are getting the first listen to that. Hopefully it will be available on Blog Talk later today, certainly tomorrow if not. It's sometimes Blog Talk can be a little flaky, so hopefully that one will be available to everybody. But the members are getting the first listen to that, along with just hours and hours of new audio content on a weekly basis, the .NET Weekly Audio Show, the Pretentious Pro Wrestling Podcast, Millennials with Attitude, the list goes on and on. It's an ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, and so take advantage of this special while you can. Again, it's only the second one we've done this year. It does expire this week, so get in while you can by visiting the main page at ProWrestling.net. All right, again, if you want to join us, 773-897-6321. PJ, I have to warn you, our next caller, he's a regular. He is also a .NET member, and he is on top secret triple probation. His name is Rabbit. Rabbit, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So far, so good, yeah.
Yeah, I heard J-Moss just a minute ago. And you know who I am, right?
The one and only Rabbit. What's on your mind, bud?
Yeah, I'm the quintessential stud muffin on the .NET forum, the number one poster in the .NET forum.
That's very true. Normally, you get that tag in Q&A. This show is replacing Q&A this week. But what's up?
Well, I wanted to give you guys my opinion from last night. And I got to be bluntly honest with you. I was disappointed.
What in particular?
The whole card. After watching NXT and that great show, top to bottom, every match a main event, every match a great match. And then you come to this one the next night, it seemed like it lost something. There was something wrong. It wasn't the same. I didn't feel the same. I was excited about the first night. The second night, it just didn't feel at all like anything like NXT did.
You know what? Let me comment on that real quick, if you don't mind. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what? I almost felt the same way, and I think it's because, you know, the NXT guys are a little. They got a little more. I don't know. It's a little more of that. I think it's by design meant to be a little more of that indie style, that Japan style, that hard-hitting style. The style that I think a lot of the fans, especially that subscribe to your internet, you know, to your site and to a lot of other sites that are looking for. And I think I think he's right in some ways, you know. And I also thought about this, you know, it's real easy for a guy like Brock and Taker who wrestle Taker wrestled last time a year and a half. I mean, I understand he's older. But, you know, these guys are going out there beating the hell out of each other, but they don't work every night. I think that WWE's main creative staff to the main show is a lot more micromanaged, especially by Vince. And it shows Vince's vision, whereas NXT is more of Triple H's deal. And I think he's really more in touch with what fans are really into. I mean, the women's match was fantastic. The main event of Kevin Owens and Finn Balor was ridiculous. I really enjoyed that. So I totally can understand where you're coming from. You know, I felt in some ways, other than the marquee value and the anticipation and the aura, you know, the buzz behind, you know, because Brock is still Brock Lesnar and Undertaker is still Undertaker, and they worked a very stiff physical style of match. But other than that, I do somewhat understand what you're saying, you know, and it's almost like NXT is giving the main roster a run for their money, which also scares me because are they going to put a little stop to that somewhere down the line if too many people start becoming too vocal about NXT with their success? I mean, could you imagine NXT selling 15,000 tickets in New York? It's pretty. I don't think they anticipated that. So, I do get what you're saying.
Rabbit, do you have more?
The other thing was, the women's match that was on last night, it didn't even come close to comparing to the women's match at NXT.
Well, I think we knew it wouldn't, though, Beach. You know, I mean, just you have a triple threat with three women on each team, and
sure. It's
just all these factions I don't know. Can you tell PJ what the Bellas are? I mean, they looked like they started the match working as baby faces, playing to the crowd, and then once Team Bad was eliminated, it seemed like they were the heels?
I don't think they know what they're doing, dude, to be honest with you. I know they're doing what they're being told, but I don't think they have a clue. I don't think Creative has a clue. I certainly thought that they tried, especially towards the end with some of those exchanges. I forgot who the two girls were doing it, but those snug punches back and forth and stuff and kind of really going at it towards the end. I mean, they're trying, but I don't, you know, I always see the diva, the main roster divas division as being more show, you know, beautiful girls, not, you know, skimpy, hot outfit, you know, being hot, being athletic as well. It's not just about being hot, but, you know, they're more eye candy and they do some nice moves. But I see the NXT girls as being real pro wrestlers, which is a bad word in the WWE, but that's what I see. And So I don't know. I don't think they know. I just think they're, you know, I'm sure they got a lot of people in their ear, especially the Bellas, you know, Cena and Brian as well. Because, you know, when you're in the hotel room talking about what are we going to do tomorrow and can you help me with this and what do you suggest with that, they're getting so much information thrown at them that they're just trying to decipher what's best for me. And I don't think they're, quite frankly, I don't think they're smart enough, and not in that way, not in a negative way, but in a pro wrestling way, to decipher what I need to do for my character. Not in a bad way, but just as far as in a wrestling way, I'm not experienced enough to know where I want to go. So
would you
I
know what to do
doing,
though? I mean,
I'm
keep
sorry?
In mind, would, I don't, you know, as many years as you have been. Would you know what to do if one, you know, seriously, on Raw, they have you working as heels, and then on SmackDown, you're working as babyface? They're just, that's what they seem to be putting the Bellas through right now.
Steve Austin always taught me when I first started working with Steve in 96, when he was the ringmaster before he went, and he mentioned it on his podcast, and a lot of the guys like Scott Hall, Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash, Waltman, they all said this to me, just go out there and be yourself. Do your moveset. Act the same way, work the same way. Whether they cheer you, whether they boo you is a situational thing. You can't change that. But as long as you stay true to who you are as far as your character, as this is who I am, I'm not flipping and flopping from one day I'm a, you know, cute little, yay, everything's cool, smiley faces, and the next day I'm trying to be a jerk and a badass. That doesn't work. Just go out there, work your style. And hopefully you'll somewhere down the line get some kind of cognizance to it. I mean, I think some of the stuff they do in the Divas division is egregious. You know, they have great athletes, but some of the stuff is just, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And you know, and unfortunately, right now, you know, brother on the other line has a point. I mean, I think NXT in a lot of ways. Other than presentation, because, of course, you know, WWE is also about the big, the glitz and the glam and the pop and circumstance and, you know, the big thing, you know. But at the end of the day, I think NXT style really appeals to a lot of the fans. And now that they're exposed to it on WWE Network, you don't have to watch Ring of Honor or, you know, maybe even TNA or whoever, you know, whatever the hip little, you know, thing is, the underground thing is. I think that, you know, NXT is like, wow, these are where the real wrestlers are at. You know, the guys that are willing to go all out. And Vince is more of the show pony, big match kind of big money thing. So, I don't know. I think things are, you know, they're both are doing really well right now. And I think they got a good thing going. But eventually, I think more fans are catching on to what NXT is about. And in Vince McMahon's mind, that's going to cause a problem. Because at the end of the day, the WWE and the main roster is the deal. And of course it is the deal. That's the selling point to the whole deal. But I think fans are really starting to get interested in that other thing that's happening out there.
Hey, what else, brother, on the other line? Rabbit, what's up?
Oh, yeah. The other thing I was going to say was I give Sara Del Rey a lot of credit for the way she put those matches together for the women and what she did for the women. And being a person who's gone to Shimmer a whole bunch of times, some of those matches did remind me of Shimmer.
I mean, she's really talented. Go ahead.
I don't know if you saw it, Peach, but Triple H did give her a shout-out. He took a picture with her and tweeted it out after the NXT show, talking about, you know, referring to her as a great coach. How much did you have much experience working shows with her?
Myself?
Yeah.
Oh, none. I don't think I've ever crossed paths with her, to be honest. But, I know of her talent, you know, and how good she is. How good she still could be. That's the sad part. How old is she anyways?
Mid-30s. I will look it up here while we're chatting. But Rabbit, I mean, I tweeted it out that night too when Hunter sent that picture out. I'd like to see a student versus teacher match. I think
I mean,
she would
you,
work
Brian,
incredibly well with Bailey.
Me? Yeah, man, that would be, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you hit your 30s now, it's like you're done. It's like, what a shame. I mean, she should be maybe not a focus because of how they're, you know, I know how they do things, but man, you know, a good, you know, those are the old school storylines, teacher versus student and stuff like that would, to me, would spark my, you know, attention and usually bring on great, great matches as well. You know, a lot of drama, a lot of good high action, you know.
And she is 34. She'll be 35 in November. And, you know, I don't know. She's, I mean, not that she's a, I don't, I'm not trying to demean her in any way. She's not the, the typical glitzy diva type. But
that's the deal.
I don't think it matters at NXT, does it?
With
their
it
audience?
Does. It always does, but not as much. Not as much. But, damn, she's still a pup. You know, if she, unless she has some injuries that I don't know of, hell, she's still a puppy dog. Now, I wish I was 34. You know what
you
I mean?
And me both.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, I mean, but that's just, look, that's the role they took her in, and I'm sure she's very grateful for being where she is. And, you know, it is what it is. It, you know, it's they have their business model, and they're just going to follow it, you know?
Hey, what else, Rabbit? We're having a hard time hearing you, but I did hear Samoa Joe's match at NXT, Peach.
What is his next? Oh, I didn't understand.
What did you think
time
of his match with Baron Corbin?
Oh, I thought it was good. I mean, I love, I'm a huge fan of Joe. I think he's nothing but money, and I think he will, he will, he will make his way up to the main roster. I don't know for how long, but you will see him up there. You will see him up there. From what I understand, they signed him to not just a you know, a developmental deal. From what I understand, and I, please, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong because I don't have all the insight. But I heard that they said that, you know, his merchandise sold so well that they decided to bring him up to a regular deal. I think he will eventually get a little shot up there, which deservedly so, man. Because what he does is still pretty special, you know. And he's a, in my opinion, he's a main event caliber guy who could work with Owens, Cesaro, Baylor, any one of those guys. And I'm sure they'll be bringing Baylor up sooner than later, if not already, you know.
I would love to see Samoa Joe, John Cena, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, the deal on his contract, he signed with them. It was going to be kind of a special deal that would allow him to work as many indies, you know, indie shows as he wanted outside of NXT. Then
sure.
That whole Ring of Honor thing occurred. He was booked for one of their shows. They had an action figure line that Vince got upset about because Kevin Steen was part of it. So then they immediately, almost immediately, bumped Joe up to a regular deal. And I think it's, you know, for them, it could be a blessing. I think he has a lot to offer, Peach. There's no reason for that he can't be working main roster at WrestleMania 32.
I do too. I agree with you. And that freak accident that happened with him. Who did he hurt? Oh my God!
Tyson Kidd.
That, I mean, I've taken that move. You know, and it's a safe move. It's just, you know, stuff happens, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, but you know, because believe me, if you do something that's, you know, again, this is my word of the week. If you do something egregiously bad as far as negligence and stuff, the locker room will get on you about that. And I mean the locker room leaders and Vince, and you know, they'll let you know. And I don't think that was the case. I think it was just one of those things where, you know, something went wrong, and I don't think it was his intention or fault. I think it's a pretty safe move, safer than AJ Styles' move, that's for sure. And I would love to see him up there, and I think he could really have a run. And I think Cena would be a great opponent for him. I think Joe is money.
The only person I've seen say anything negative about that move is Bret Hart. And, of course, you know, it's the family dynamic. So I don't know if that's how Tyson Kidd feels about it. I've never really, maybe I've missed something, but I don't think he's really commented on it. But I saw YouTube footage of it. It was a dark match.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
I didn't think anything of it. And it just looked like a routine muscle buster.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's sometimes, man, you know, it's like a lot of pro sports. Sometimes the injury's already there, especially in football, and you and I are both NFL fans. Sometimes the injury's already there. It's just waiting for that little that little torque to snap, you know, the tendon or the muscle or the pull, you know, and I just think it was just one of those things where he was probably working with something already that just happened to click it off, you know, because Joe's pretty safe, man. That's one of the things that I know personally about him, being with him on the indie scene for many years. I was with him in TNA for some time. He's a very safe worker. He's a little snug sometimes, but very safe. You know, he's a very safe worker and a very respectful, nice guy. You know, he doesn't have a mean bone in his body, not to kill his gimmick. But in real life, he doesn't have a mean bone in his body. So I don't think I'd fault him at all. And I don't think the office did as well, because if they did, he would have already been gone. You know,
or at the very least, the move would be banned. You know, if they were worried about that move, don't you think they'd be, hey, no one's allowed to do this anymore?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
Rabbit, did you have another one for us, or are you calling it a day, bud?
Calling it a day. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you for your phone call, brother. I appreciate it.
Always good to hear from .NET member Rabbit. If you would like to join us on the show today, 773-897-6321 is the number. I am Jason Powell. I am joined today by the one, the only, just incredible, former ECW champion. He mentioned he's been in TNA, of course, WWE. And, I've been meaning to ask you. I noticed shortly after I asked you about coming on the show, I panicked a little bit, and I said, it's Peach. He'll let me know if he can't make it. Scott Hall invited you to a Click reunion this weekend. Did you happen to take him up on the offer?
He did invite me, but no, I could not. Not that I couldn't. It's just, you know, and I'm very forthcoming with my life situation. It's just, you know, I'm not getting a payday, and it's quite expensive to go to the city to buy your own food. And, you know, I could stay. I invited me to stay in his room. But still, I mean, it's, you know, look, I can't take $100, $200 loss when you're not making anything on the weekend. So I would have loved to have seen the boys and stuff, but, you know, my days of marking out are over, man. I just, you know, it's business for me now. And, you know, it would have been fun to see everybody, but hell, I see Waltman and Hall all the time. So no big deal.
Well, I think I would be remiss if I didn't ask, how is Scott doing these days?
You know what? Last time I was with Scott, man, he was doing fantastic. You know, he was doing fantastic. Every time I've seen him, you know, there's been times where he's slipped a little bit, but I haven't seen him like that in at least over a year. So, you know, as far as I can tell, he's been doing the right thing. We actually did a tour, me, him, and Sean Waltman, not too long ago together, and he was perfect. He was perfect. Didn't drink, didn't do anything. So, you know, we all didn't. We were all pretty cool. So, you know, he's on the right track, and I'm glad. He seems happy, and I think that's what makes him happy, is being around the boys, being around the business, being around what he loves. And, you know, it's like anything else in life. When you feel useful, when you feel good about yourself and you feel like you're wanted, you know, it gives you a sense of purpose in life. You know, and I think that's what's happening with Scott. He's getting a little bit of a resurgence and a little bit of that nostalgia thing, and he's really enjoying it. And Scott can bring so much to the table. He's one of the most, he's, if you listen to him talk about the business, man, just one of the most intelligent guys out there. And I really wish, that he could somehow, you know, utilize that and bring it to this generation of kids, because, you know, he's helped mold a ton of great talent that's out there right now. So, you know, yeah, Scott's doing great.
I know, you know, hey, it's a day-to-day process with recovering addicts,
sure.
You know, and sure. But do you find it encouraging that WWE had him in to be part of this?
Oh, absolutely. Believe me, they have people on every end of the spectrum. If you poop the wrong way, they know. You know, they know it all. So to have him part of this weekend obviously says that they know he's doing well. If there was any question, then he would not have been a part of it, you know. So, it's very encouraging, and I'm glad for Scott, and, you know, and I'm glad for WWE, because, you know what, he's an icon for that company, and he deserves everything, you know, that he gets. So, you know, hopefully down the line they'll be able to work with each other some more, and hopefully somewhere down the line I'll be able to work with them some more.
I don't know if you had a chance to see, catch it over the weekend, but I did, there, especially with SummerSlam Sunday, and there was so much on the site. But one of the on-site reports that we got, which is basically, you know, fans who are at the building send in their thoughts and comment on the crowd reception, things like that. One of them was a longtime fan who used to go to a lot of ECW shows back in the day, and he commented on the differences between the NXT crowd in Brooklyn compared to what the old ECW crowd was like. And one of the things he pointed out, and I think it's a fair assessment, I'm curious to get your take, the fans today cheer heels based on, or really heels and baby faces, based on match quality more so than they do a lot of times based on who's the heel and who's the baby face. We're in ECW, yeah, you know, slowly but surely some guys would be turned because the fans would take to them, but they really did seem to play along more with that dynamic. Is that because the ECW crew worked smarter and harder when it came to getting the fans to react a certain way?
I think so. I think, you know, I think, you know, and I hate to say it, but I think we still worked one of the greatest works of all time. I mean, I think fans thought we were absolutely killing each other when we weren't. And I think they bought into, but mind you, this was the early days of the internet. I think we were allowed to really, you know, we were really able to play with the fans' emotions, other, you know, instead of, you know, now everything is just so, you know, just so planned. So I think that, yeah, that does have a lot to do with it. And I think because we did, we worked smarter, we worked, and in some instances we worked harder. But I see these kids, hell, I had one hard way against Raven in my 3.5 years in ECW, and it was my fault. We were working above we were literally on top of a bar, and he punched me, and I sold it, and I hit, you know, it was a low ceiling, so I hit my head as hard as I could on the cell, on the recoil, on top of the ceiling, and it busted me wide open. But I see these kids today, they're always coming out of there with black and blue eyes, cuts above their, you know, all over the place. Brock Lesnar pretty much hard ways every night when he has big pay-per-view matches. So these guys are working stiffer, harder, and not necessarily smarter. You know, I think, you know, I think that's that has something to say, but I think that also has something to say about the way social media and stuff like that has taken, you know, taken command of what we do. And it really is an integral part of what we do. Social media really does determine a lot of what goes on, you know, on television and inside the ring.
And how much do you worry about this generation compared to your own? I mean, you guys were known as for that hardcore style, and some of you worked a different style than others, of course. But the guys today, I mean, just the wear and tear from the physical style they're working, obviously they take it a little bit easier on the live events, I would hope. But this balls-to-the-wall style you see, I'm not trying to pick on NXT, because it's certainly, you're seeing it on the main roster, you're seeing it in Ring of Honor, you're seeing it all over. Is that a major concern for you going forward as far as lifestyle for these guys is concerned once their in-ring days are over?
I think so. I we've eliminated chair shots and certain things, but it's okay to potato someone right above the eye to get them to bust open.
Is that what you saw last night with Taker Lesnar?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're really, you know, you're purposefully, and I'm sure they talked about it, but you're, you know, it's no different. I mean, you're still getting blunt force trauma to the head. And, you know, so we're just really taking it to a, you know, I believe me, I hate to say it to break the aura of what we did, but ECW was a lot more controlled than people thought. The pioneers like Terry Funk and Sabu, who really did those barbed wire matches and really have the wounds to prove it. But once they did that, people started to believe. So we had, after those guys, we were able to kind of contrive it and take it a little easier and work it a little differently to where they were buying more into the, you know, it was extreme style, but it wasn't necessarily stiff or people getting hurt. So, yeah, I think guys today are being told to hit harder and do crazier things. And, you know, the things I see today are way harder than a lot of the things we did in ECW. You know, just in a different context.
of these current crop, you can pick anybody from the industry. We're flashing back to your ECW champion. Who's the guy you would love to work with? You know, that could come in as your challenger.
Rob Van Dam.
Well, how about today's crop, though?
You mean today?
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Oh God. Who would I really would have loved? That's a great question. I would have liked to have worked with a Dean Ambrose.
Sure.
You know, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt. But he, you know, we were heels. He's a heel, but he could easily be a babyface. Who else would have really melded well with me?
How would you do with guys like Finn Balor, Adrian Neville? You know, guys that just kind of work that more high flying style.
Finn Balor, I would love to be in the ring with that kid.
Yeah.
Today, I would love, he's not a kid, but you know, he's not that much. You know, what is he? He's 32, 34.
I believe he's actually like 35.
Yeah, he's not that. I mean, I'm 31, so you know, God, you know,
now,
I'd love to work with somebody like that. Okay, but yeah, somebody like that with all that experience. Are you kidding me? You know, guys like that would have been amazing. You know, Kevin Owens, you know, Kevin Steen, whatever. I would have taken him in his ROH days. You know, he's just a beast, and he works a very similar style, heel style that I worked. If you think about it, very brash, takes his time, does his cool offense. You know, even though his offense is better than mine, I never had that kind of cool offense. But still, he does his stuff, gets his character over, very aggressive. Cesaro is another one. A lot of the Ring of Honor guys, you know, because they're all Ring of Honor guys at the end of the day. So I would have loved to have worked with all those guys. I thought they would have been great.
Now, you know, I mentioned the Click earlier. And on Saturday night, I don't know if you caught it, if you watched the entire show. I know it sounds like you saw some of it. Did you catch the wannabe curtain call, you know, the new age curtain call with the women?
No.
Yeah,
no,
they showed Scott, Kevin, and Sean in the crowd at one point during the show. And what they were doing was rotating celebrity guests out. Ric Flair came out, and so they were out there briefly, then they'd go backstage without being shown. And then somebody else would, you know, take Ric Flair took those spots at one point with Sergeant Slaughter. But then later in the show, after Bayley won her match, it was a total curtain call moment with her opponent, Sasha Banks, and then Charlotte and Becky Lynch all coming out, and basically, you know, Sasha, who was this heel character throughout the match, just drops the heel persona, and they're all teary-eyed and, you know, hugging each other and everything else. It was a total curtain call.
Sure. See, that's what I fear in some ways, that the network, because at the end of the day, I think they need content to fill, and they're trying to, you know, they're breaking down that wall that what you see in the ring is not necessarily what happens on the outside. But they got to be careful with that. I think they're trying to hit, from what I see, and they have this, I wish I had the name of the show that they're trying to do now that's going to be a little different from anything they do, sort of documentary style where they fall, almost like a Hard Knocks.
Breaking Ground, was it?
Yeah, with WWE guys. I just worry, you know, because it'll take fans out of the moment. You know, there's still some things that need to kayfabe. And everybody knows it is what it is, but still I think giving them too much is different and is difficult. And then it's difficult. See, I do things sometimes where, you know, if I'm having a hard time selling a match, and if I take a semi-stiff shot in an indie show, I go, I pretend like I'm shoot hurt, and like I get hot, like shoot hot, and like I'm not working with the guy. Like I'll shove him off a couple times, maybe give him an F-bomb, push him away, tell the ref like I'm not doing this anymore, you know, just almost to try to pretend, you know, and then I'll continue with the match, but just almost pretend like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. This is a real, now I'm really mad at you. We need to keep that aura of this is a competition, and we really don't, you know, we're not supposed to be buddy-buddy. This is a fight, you know, and they got to be very careful, you know, because I know, you know, Triple H said, you know, this isn't pro wrestling, we're making movies, kind of a thing. You know, he said that to Finn Balor in one of those docu specials, and I agree, that's camera angles and stuff. You got to know how to work the deal, but you also got to worry about, you know, losing that thing, because then you're not going to have that response. anymore at the end of the day when you're having those big main event matches in front of all those people.
Did you have, I mean, do you feel stronger about it today than you did back when your buddies did it, the Click did it at Madison Square Garden?
A little bit, yes, only because it's so, I don't know, man. It was a blip. It could have been a blip on the radar. I know it meant a lot and it changed the business, but now everything is almost so orchestrated. I doubt they went out there on their own.
No way.
You know, they were almost told to go out there. They wouldn't go out there on their, you know, on their own and do it. So, you know, it's a conscious decision made by the office and made by the creative powers. So it's just, we're in a very interesting time, and, you know, not in a bad way, just in, it's going to be curious to see where this all goes and the way pro wrestling is going to be presented in the next 3-4 years is going to change dramatically, especially with the access of the network and all the, you know, the freedom it really gives them as far as match times and specials and documentaries and all this other, you know, stuff leading up to it. I mean, they really have the golden goose, you know, that they could produce anything they want, you know, to a positive, you know, so it's going to be interesting how they want to portray our business, you know, and it's all in their hands now. It's what Vince wanted since he first started it in 83 when Hulk pinned Sheik. You know, this is the culmination of all of it. This is his vision and, you know, the monopoly. And it's pretty much become that, you know. Because now he's not only got the WWE hardcore fans, he's also got the Ring of Honor fans who are now switched over, excuse me, to NXT because that's kind of what they like anyways. So he's really kind of getting a little bit of everybody, every taste, you know. Well, if you don't like the main roster, you don't like John Cena, you don't like Roman Reigns, you don't like this guy, well, you'll like the guys that we just swept up from Ring of Honor that you always cheered for, and they're still going to go out there and do the same great stuff they always did. So they're really kind of getting a style for everyone. If you don't like this, well, maybe you'll like this, you know.
Well, and now they're doing it with better production, and they're doing it against guys that maybe they didn't get to work with in the past because they were in Japan or whatnot. Let's take a call here. 347, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Chris from New York, and I have two questions.
Go for it.
Okay, the first question is about Undertaker. If you guys were making the decisions, would you have Undertaker face Lesnar at WrestleMania, given that Undertaker would have to go over and it would really hurt business? Or would you go for the moneymaker and try to do a Rock versus Lesnar match at Mania? And the second question is about Undertaker. If he works at WrestleMania, do you think he has to go out a victor? And if he does have to go out the winner, would you just do a Sting match with him? Because if Sting loses, he really wouldn't care because he'd still be performing in front of a big crowd again.
Good question. Yeah, good question.
It's hard to answer.
They are. Chris is good for that. He asked some good questions. The first one, Taker at WrestleMania, we'll kind of break it down this way. What's more marketable, Taker against Brock or Brock Lesnar against Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
More marketable, Rock, but he has to have this match with Taker. It's going to have to be, in my opinion, Undertaker going over on Brock Lesnar for the legacy, and that's going to be Undertaker's last match. My opinion,
wow.
The way it's got to be. In my opinion, or else you're going to, you know, what else are you going to do? You're going to kill Taker for the buildup of 25 years. You know, you're going to have to go there.
And it was a poor question. I mean, people in the bubble Taker Brock is huge. It's nothing compares to getting Dwayne The Rock Johnson to work WrestleMania. I mean, that's a pretty big thing when you just think about all the outside interest that it brings in. But
that's a one-time thing, though. That comes and goes. Undertaker's legacy is at stake, and that's bigger than a one-time appearance by Brock Lesnar or by Rock.
Well, how much damage does it do to Brock Lesnar if he does, let's say, this time it's clean, this time Undertaker does
beat Brock
Lesnar?
It doesn't hurt him at all because he beat the streak. At the end of the day, he beat the streak, which is Undertaker's proudest accomplishment, and he beat him. They had that match with really, the outcome they had yesterday could almost go as a non-finish, you know, because it was tainted. So really, if Undertaker beat Brock Lesnar to go into the sunset which I agree it should be. Because other than that, I think you tamed Undertaker's 25 years. I mean, I'm sure you could also get Rock to work with somebody.
Right.
Just as fantastic. We got to brainstorm it. It's not going to come up in the next 5 minutes. But you could get Rock and I'm sure Rock will. You could do Rock Steve Austin if you really wanted to, one more time. Tell me that.
Well, I think Rock and based on just what he said in interviews, it sure sounds like your friend Triple H is a likely opponent for Dwayne Johnson if he does work Mania this year.
Sure, and it doesn't hurt Hunter if he loses. But who do you do? Steve Austin's going to come back. Who does Steve Austin work with? Or do you put him in a triple threat?
Well, do you really think he's coming back, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. He's not going to let this way. It's do or die, and I think he has one more in him just by listening to him talk. I think Steve has one more in him. I don't think he's going to be able to let it go, especially in Texas, especially at the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Don't see it happening, man.
And just a play, it's kind of, I don't remember Chris's exact question, but let me kind of reframe it because I think you addressed it. But the Sting Taker match, is that something, is it more marketable to everyone, I guess, not just inside the wrestling bubble, but just to everyone, than Brock Taker 3?
It's a no-win, though, because Sting's got to win. He lost his first WrestleMania match. Can't lose a second. Taker certainly ain't going to lose. So what do you do?
I would just have Taker go over because, I don't know that Sting has much more left in him.
No, but
I don't think either guy does. But
Sting would have to at least win one match, a one high-profile match, whether it be a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series, and obviously you can't do SummerSlam because it just happened, but a Survivor Series or something, or a Royal Rumble or something to kind of give him an up to get the, because he's, his only match, he lost to Hunter, so now he's going to go into his other, he's going to look like a jabron if he loses two WrestleMania matches in a row. His only two WrestleMania matches in a row. And I don't think Steve would do that either. For his own legacy, Yeah, I really do.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. You think Austin's coming?
Steve Borden. Borden. I meant Sting.
Right. No, but you mentioned.
Were you talking about
Steve Austin earlier?
Yeah.
Right. And that part surprises me.
Him being involved.
Well, just that you think he has one more match left in him, and that he's actually going to do it this time.
I really believe so, yeah. And it's a perfect opportunity. He's been arguably the biggest draw in the company's history. To not be part of the biggest WrestleMania when he could still go, says he's in the best, he's in great physical shape. He hints around being able to possibly do it, possibly not. Of course, he's not going to, show his cards, but I totally think that Steve Austin, if he's ever going to do it, it's going to be now at this WrestleMania. Because they're going to need all their guns, man. They're going to need all their guns. They're going to need them all to fill that stadium. They're going to need Rock. They're going to need Taker. They're going to need Brock. They're going to need Austin. They're going to need Hunter. They're going to need anybody they can get. In my opinion, Sting. They're going to need them all. And it's just now a way of fitting them all into this perfect little scenario where everybody's happy and everybody comes out somewhat winning. Money talks, bullshit walks, so maybe, But something, I think having all those names on that card matter. And then you bring in the Roman Reigns and the other guys that are ascending, the John Cenas and, all those other guys into the fray. Can't forget about Cena. I think it's going to be, this WrestleMania is going to be one of the most interesting WrestleManias since the very early ones. It's going to be huge because they're going to want to take advantage of this venue of completely selling it out and of making new history for, instead of the Pontiac Silverdome, it'll be, Jerry World,
Right.
Well, and I think it's going to be a big deal.
One of the names you left off that list, though, is a longtime friend of yours, a guy from Texas, Shawn Michaels. Do you think he ends up agreeing to come out of retirement to work one more?
No.
Why Austin but not Shawn?
Because I just think Shawn is done. I think he's he's happy in his own skin. I really do. I think Sean has done everything he thinks he has to do. I think Steve just feels like, I don't know. I honestly think at this point, Sean, both more personally than professionally, more personally, with spiritually, with what he does, I think, you know, with his family, I think he's more grounded and happy to walk away. I think Steve just still has that bug, that itch. So you just hear it. I not even for me talking to him personally. I've only talked to him a handful of times, but just his, you know, when you hear his podcasts, just the way he just still has that one more, you know, he doesn't necessarily say it, but I just feel it that if it's right, you know, he'd love to do it, you know, and what better place than Dallas, Texas, you know? I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, do you agree that if he doesn't do this year's Mania, give it up, it's over? You know, he might as well forget the idea of Steve Austin returning to the ring.
No, you never say never, but I just think it would be perfect. It'd be perfect, and they have a ton of great guys to work with. It's almost like the last of the. It would be WrestleMania 32 would almost be a close on the old school cats. You know, it would be the close on the old school cats, the Austins, the Hunters, the Takers, you know, the Rocks. Even, you know, it would almost be like, you know, just that one last party for all of our, you know, the Stings. You know, it's like that generation is over now, man. And it would be like that finality. In my opinion, that's how I would see it. It's like, look, this is it. This is the greatest of the greats going at it one more time in the biggest show of all time. However you match them up, whatever the storylines may be. And I'm sure, you know, if they think hard enough, they could pull it all together. That's what they get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do. I think they can do it, you know.
How much does the business suffer if what you say is true? Because I've looked at it that way too. Like, let this be the last hurrah. I get that you're trying to fill the stadium, but then, you know, I'm not saying you can't bring back a guy here and there. Obviously you don't need to just write them off completely, but at some point you do need to transition into making this generation stars feel like the stars of the industry, and they take a back seat when that time comes. Let's say it is, just for the sake of argument, WrestleMania 33. Does WrestleMania take a hit?
Possibly, yeah, but I mean, who are those guys, man? You know, I mean, we've time and time again, you know, the Roman Reigns, Cena's a proven commodity, obviously, but who else do we have? I mean, other than the Roman Reigns, we have Daniel Bryan, who's a question mark from an availability standpoint, as far as his health. It's just we're not. Great stars just don't come along these days the way they used to, and I think that that's also the way because of, like we said before, the format of television. You know, 3 hours, we're giving away matches for free every week that we could be saving for pay-per-views. I just think the format is making it very difficult to provide that waiting period to the big crescendo of a match. So I think the business is going to have to catch up with itself and somehow figure out ways to, you know, to make these stars and make them as legendary and create new streaks. And, you know, the Brock Lesnars are, you know, I don't know how much Brock has left, you know. I mean, he has a sweet-ass deal, you know, and he's right now one of the best pro wrestlers in the business because he's just, I mean, he's the real deal. Because guess what? When I look at him, I don't see fake wrestling. I see a beast. I see a beast, right, Ripping people apart. And that's a good thing for the business. You know, he looks the part, but, I mean, how much longer is he going to want to do it or whatever? I mean, I don't know. I'm not in his head. I don't talk to him. I don't know him. But, you know, it's a lot less of those guys around than there used to be because it used to take years to build to those guys. And now it takes, you know, you give them a couple of months of a trial and, it didn't work. Let's go to someone else. You know, you can't pump guys out quick enough. So, you know, it's going to take a big undertaking to get all this stuff sorted out and see where they go. I don't envy their job right now because they have a lot of a lot of question marks. They could do some great things, that's for sure. They certainly have some great things.
I was going to say, are they making a mistake by not transitioning with, okay, right now it seems like Mania, the stars come home, the stars by and large work against one another. Is it a mistake to not basically try to pass the torch by having some of these, when the stars come home, having them pass the torch to today's stars? Or do you think they're playing it right and just getting everything they can out of the names from the past?
I don't know. I think it should be a 50-50. I mean, I really think, you know, some guys should, some guys shouldn't, depending on who they are. You know, it's hard. I don't have the proper answer. You know, I'm talking out of my butt sometimes just from what I see as a casual fan. You know, I have no insight. A lot of the guy, but all I'm saying is we're losing a lot of, you know, we don't have a lot more of those great names anymore, you know. A lot of those great names are not long, you know, not here anymore. And I think now more than ever, the WWE needs to capitalize on it if they're going to ever, or start putting some real steam behind the guys that they do have. I mean, even John Cena, who's considered he's battle twisted and torn, been the company guy for so many years, done everything they've asked, but really, how much does he have left physically? Excuse me. On a high level, on an every night level, I mean, I'm sure he's beat up. So we really are going to have to start looking for and promoting the future, whoever that may be, you know. So it's going to be interesting, man. We're into these next 6, 7, 8 months are going to be extremely interesting to our business, because I don't think anybody really knows, you know, what's going to happen. Because unfortunately, when we want a buy rate, we want to pop a buy rate or a rating, we still use the Takers, you know, the Bretts, the Shawns, the Austins, the Rocks, the Hunters. You know, we got to get over that. We got to start, you know, passing it down to who, you know, could we see Randy Orton doing that? Could we see Sheamus doing that? Could we see, you know, Big Show's on his way? You know, I'm not saying he's on his way out, but what, has he got another 3, 4, 5 years tops, maybe? I don't know. You know, we're going to have to really start getting over fresh acts that could dominate and become those next guys. And I just don't know who those guys are going to be, because those are some big boots to fill.
Do you worry that, you know, with Vince McMahon turning 70 today, I mean, it's just, you know, another day. He's a day older than he was yesterday. But when the time comes for him to transition into the current generation, is it, do you fear that it's going to be more difficult for him? I mean, he seems to do his best work with, you know, the older generation, and he's been very loyal to them. I think a lot of them, I think some of it is because they went through the Monday Night War with him. It's been kind of my working theory on it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
Now at 70, how do you expect him to do with some of the younger characters?
I don't know. I don't think, you know what, and it's true in some way. There's not that level of toughness that we went through. And I'm not saying that I was a main event guy, but I went through those wars with those guys. And, you know, it's different when you do 30 days out of 30, or 20, I should say 28 days out of 30 with the same crew. You know, when you have that loyalty, when you have that bond, when you went through, literally you're in the trenches taking grenades every night, you know, going all over the world, show after show after show after show after show, not being able to be hurt. You know, you got a huge gaping wound, you put some glue on some spit and Band-Aids on it, and there you go, you're off to the next town. That doesn't exist anymore. So I think it's just a whole different vibe, and there's just not, you know, the guys coming up just aren't conditioned to that, you know. Look, man, you know, the guys like Sean Waltman, I just worked with Sean Waltman at a house show, an indie show. It was a baseball stadium, probably 1,000 people, nice house, you know, and I worked with him. He's as crisp and as sharp as ever.
Wow.
As ever. You you know, and he's 40 years old, 41 years old. I'm not saying, you know, you bring him back as a main event or anything, but there's still so many guys. That's the thing is, like, when you hit your 35s and 40s, like I am, I'm 41, Sean's age, you hit your death sentence. There are so many other possibilities out there. Guys with WWE swagger that could still go out there and do stuff. I just think that, you know, somehow they've dropped the ball in some cases because so many guys could still do so much. You know, I just think the machine itself has gotten too big and just dismissed too many people, and they couldn't afford to. Not yet, anyways. Because, you know, you could bring up all the NXT guys you want. They're still not going to have the cachet that the older generation had because, for some reason, you know, you put the older generation out there from 10, 15 years ago, they still pop a bigger rating. So, you know, you got to think of that. You know, I think a lot of fans still reminisce with that, you know.
Playing off something in the chat room, but that new.net member Iconic One wrote, would you, okay, let's say all things are equal, they take the same pay. Just hypothetically, of course. Would you spend the money that you would normally spend on Dwayne The Rock Johnson to get Steve Austin to come back for one more match? You have to pick between the two.
Oh, man. See, I'd hate to pick between the two because I find the two both equally, as equally important. For my preference, I mean, well, look, if you go for a showbiz thing, it's obviously The Rock. But
sure.
If you go for a pure WWE fan base thing, it's Steve Austin. You know?
It is a trickier question just because we've seen Rock the last few years. You know, and
right.
It means something every time. But is there that generation out there that longs for Steve Austin still? I just don't know. I want to. One of the final questions I want to ask you today is: you mentioned, you know, in the ring you will kind of act like something caught you stiff or something like that, just to kind of get a different reaction out of the crowd. There's a video footage of Undertaker last night going up the ramp, and then as he gets to the top of the stage, just before before the backstage opening slot, he, you know, falls down to his knees and then struggles to get back up. I don't know if you've seen it. Even if you haven't, does that sound like Taker working to you?
Absolutely. That's what I did. That's a typical me, you know, because that's the old baby face. Like, you're trying to get up to your feet. You put on the gallant effort. You've lost all your energy. You're just trying to make it. And, oh, you go. You know, it's almost like the old, how was it? The old James Brown, when he goes down to his knees and then the guy comes with the cape, puts it over
right.
James. You remember? It's
absolutely
that, man. It's a work. But that's the thing is, we forget it's a work. We're so easy to bite in now. You know, in some ways, fans buy into it more now because we could still trick them. That's what I meant by that stuff, what I told you. You know, I remember you and Wade were at that Minneapolis taping when I worked with Raven. He kicked me in the head, and I said, oh, F, you mother effer, and it was a work. But I was just trying to the live crowd say, like, ah, we're breaking character. I'm really mad at you, although I wasn't. It's almost like that other level of we're just trying to work you, you know, because I know fans are so smart now. So, and it's just another way of working. I'm sure he was fine. Didn't give me no signs that he wasn't. You know, he's a strong guy. I'm sure not every time, you know. But again, he's smart enough to understand that fans know he's older. He got concussed last time. Maybe he's a little weaker. Maybe, like, every time he takes a big move, fans are, when he acts like that, it's like, oh, my God, is this really it for him? Is he really hurt? It just brings that drama, that passion to it, that work to it. You know, and you got to just kind of grasp it at all straws. You know, you got to remember in pro wrestling, until you know better, everything is a work. You know.
Well, and I think in this case, you know, it was one of those stories where I'm looking at it going, I'm thinking work here. But what I think, whether it was by design or not, I think it played in perfectly to the real life situation that happened, where he did collapse backstage after their last match. And
sure.
So, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's like one of those things where you feel obligated to run the video just in case something actually did happen. So great move
absolutely.
On his part.
Absolutely. Oh, no doubt. But that's the intrigue, and that's that next level stuff that we have to, you know, that's that next level stuff, you know? Absolutely.
Okay,
you know, totally.
Now, before I let you go, you mentioned that you're obviously out there on the indie scene. Any upcoming shows you want to plug? Anywhere people can reach out to you for booking information?
Well, I mean, I don't have my list in front of me. I got a couple of shows up on the Northeast, September and October. You could basically go on my Facebook page, and it's at facebook.com/Peter Polacco. You get all my wrestling booking information. But if you do want to book me, just go to polaccopeter73@gmail.com, and you can contact me directly for any inquiries about autograph sessions, wrestling shows, anything you want.
Well, hey, I can't thank you enough. As you know, I always enjoy the conversation, PJ, and it was fun to put it out here for everybody on Blog Talk Radio, ProWrestling.net Live.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, man. You and I have been friends for a long time, and I always enjoy this. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you, and I will talk to you again real soon. Thank you to all of the listeners, all of the chatters. It's been a really fun time here getting back in the saddle with ProWrestling.net Live. This does conclude our live run, but I do want to tell you that, of course, I am still on the PW Torch livecast on Tuesdays. They do daily shows. I am on with Wade Keller at 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern every Tuesday at pwtorchlivecast.com. So if you enjoy the live format, you enjoy calling in or at least listening to different people calling, even if calling in isn't your thing, you can still get your fix right there, pwtorchlivecast.com. And I also want to give you one final mention of our membership special, $1 for 1 month. You don't have to commit to anything. All you have to, if you're not satisfied at the end of your month, or just, hey, you spent your dollar and that's all you wanted was to try things out for a month, maybe listen to a lot of our audio content during that time, whatever the case, cancel by the end of your month, not the end of this month, but the end of your month, a month from when you sign up, you're off the hook. It's that simple. All you spent was a dollar, and hopefully you enjoyed your time. Obviously, we want you to enjoy what we do on the membership side of things, the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, the special members exclusive section of our free iPhone and Android apps, and become a regular member. And if you are somebody who's tried this before, or you're just like, hey, I'm kind of enjoying all this audio, and you know that there's more great audio content available exclusively for members, tons of it on a weekly basis for the members, and you want to commit to something longer, you can save $12 on our six-month membership, $21 on our annual membership. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Look for the ProWrestling.net membership sale headline right there where we have all the rest of our news. You can also probably find it in the must-read section. And you can click in there. You will find a coupon code, and you can enter that on the .net member sign-up page. There'll be a link right there that will take you in there. You can be signed up almost instantaneously. It's a very simple process, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. Give us a try. See if what we're doing caters to you. And again, if not, if you just take that $1 for 1 month option, opt out by the end of the month and move on with your life, and it's all good. But we really hope you'll give it a shot and see what it is that we have to offer behind that membership wall. And thanks to Iconic One also for pointing out, if you are an existing member, this is intended to appeal to new, you know, potential new members and even some returning members. But I know some of you guys are cheaters, as I like to call you, in the Q&A audio show that I normally do on Mondays for the members that this show replaced this week. I'm not going to stop you. By all means, go ahead and take advantage of it. But you can make both of our lives easier by simply canceling your current membership once you sign up for one of the specials. That way you can avoid double billing, and you can save some hassle on our end of things where we have to go in and clean that up. So that's all I ask. But again, it's the ProWrestling.net membership special, $1 for 1 month, and big savings on those 6 month and annual memberships as well. Thank you again to Just Incredible, a.k.a. PJ Polacco. Great insight from him. Always cool to get a pro wrestler's perspective, on, especially coming out of a big show like SummerSlam. Be sure to check out the Johnny Fairplay and Joel Gertner podcast that members are listening to now. I wanted to make sure we got this show in before I tried to put it up on Blog Talk, and then sometimes we're supposed to be able to put up as many as we want to. And so hopefully that you'll have access to that audio show on the All Access side later today, if not certainly on Tuesday morning. So look for that. And thanks to all of my guest hosts this week, and all the .NET staffers, Will Pruitt, Jake Burnett was on .NET Weekly, just with his work schedule. It didn't work out for him to be on the show, but he certainly joined me last night for the member-exclusive SummerSlam audio review. Hayden Gleed, Darren Gutteridge, they got together with you guys on Saturday for the Not Exactly Live show that they did, our UK staffers. Thank you to them. Thanks to John Moore. Thanks to Zach Zimmerman. Thanks to all of you. And again, thanks to all the callers, all the chatters, and even those of you who just sat there and listened and said, I'm not going to call into the show. I'm just going to listen. Hey, that's all good, too. We certainly appreciate it. Let's see here. I think that covers everything. Again, check me out on Tuesdays on the livecast, pwtorchlivecast.com, and follow me tonight for Raw live coverage. Every Monday night, I'm doing live coverage beginning with the pre-show. So if you can't watch the network or you just don't want to watch the pre-show, they do announce a lot of matches on there, and I try to get those out for people in a timely fashion by covering the Raw pre-show notes as well as on my Twitter page. Follow us at Pro Wrestling Net. Leave the dot out of that one, at Pro Wrestling Net. Likewise, you have any questions about the membership special or anything else, hit me up at Pro Wrestling Net or shoot me an email. DOTNET, Jason, I spell it the right way, JASON, @gmail.com. So .NET Jason @gmail.com. All right, that's going to do it, everybody. Thank you so much again. Take care.